Chapter 2. Things were going very well for Korovar merchant Sheb Vallad. Very well indeed. He had come to Otor's hub, the place to be if one dealt in certain merchandise, a standard year before the war had broken out. While others busied themselves with choosing sides, Sheb had made himself a powerful friend to both. Everybody liked trinkets, jewels, paintings, statues, fancy hookah pipes made of exotic materials and studded with gems from far distant worlds. And if the makers of such exquisite items happened to have met with unpleasant fates, well, that simply caused what they had created to become even more valuable. Most times, Sheb waited for the unpleasant fates to occur and positioned himself in a position to benefit. Sometimes, he took a more direct approach. Oh, not he himself. No, no. His hands were made for handling money and stroking valuable items. There were plenty of others willing to take his credits to do the ugly business of increasing the value of certain objects. He settled back in his chair and took a pull on his hookah, absently reaching a hand to finger the ornate carvings on the horn that jutted from his skull. "A Korovar's horn is a Korovar's pride," his father had told him. It told the world everything it needed to know about the individual sporting it. Sheb's horn was large, twisting, and lavishly decorated. Great, late artisans had carved their work upon it, and jewels caught the dim lighting in the smoky back room of his shop. He availed himself of one of the delicate pastries that were the specialty of his private chef, then gestured to the blue-plated protocol droid who stood at attention beside the door. Someone else stood at attention, too. The ever-reliable Thurg, a burly Gamorrean.
"Show our guest in, Blue," Sheb said.
"Of course, my most glorious master."
Sheb had sprung for a customized version of the current protocol unit. Blue came equipped with two specialized programs, Agile 8 and B Little. The former soothed Sheb, and the latter had proven vastly entertaining. Blue stepped through the curtained door into the waiting room that lay beyond while Thurg, looking slightly bored, picked at his large yellowed teeth. Sheb hoped Blue would catch him at it. The dressing down the droid would give Thurg was sure to be a delight. Though Blue probably should be grateful it was only the Gamorrean's teeth that were being picked, not the bodyguard's porcine nostrils.
"Master Tall," said the droid in his precise clipped voice. "The most honorable, reputable, and extremely fair merchant of high-quality valuables and artifacts, Sheb Vallad, has most graciously agreed to grant your request for an audience."
"Whoa there," came Tall's cheerful voice.
Sheb took another pastry, smiling, and poured tea for his customer. Over these last couple of months, Tall had become a regular patron, and Sheb wondered what Tall's glib tongue had in store for poor Blue today.
"I see you're set on verbal overload, Blue. And I've told you, don't call me master."
"Today's program setting will not permit me to override the designation, I fear. Master Tall."
The droid strode through the curtain, politely holding it to the side so that Tall could enter easily. Tall Carr was a tall, well-muscled Kifar specimen who moved with an easy grace. As always, his eyes sparkled with good humor above the narrow yellow tattoo that ran the width of his face.
Thurg blocked his way with a grunt and stood expectantly. Tall rolled his eyes. "Sheb, call off your bantha. I've never brought a weapon in yet."
The Gamorrean hesitated, looking back at his master, confused.
"Thurg, you know the rules."
Tall grinned at Thurg.
"Go ahead. But you know I don't have any weapons."
"I know you no have weapons,"
Thurg said in guttural basic, patting Tall down, then stepping back.
"He unarmed.
You may now enter the radiant presence of my magnificent master,
said Blue, sweeping his arm for good measure. Hey, Blue, Tall said, how many synonyms for your name are there?
In basic, there are...
Tall waved a hand. No, in all your languages. And can you tell me what they are? A slightly choked sound emanated from the droid, and he visibly slumped. Then...
Blue, my databanks register 40,011,742,983 accepted synonyms for the color blue. Beginning with basic, they are, in alphabetical order, AO, Aqua, Azure.
You don't have to obey that instruction, Blue, Shep said.
Oh, thank you, my most marvelous master. I am exceedingly grateful.
Sheb indicated the platter of pastries.
Tall, he said with a sigh. Are you trying to short out my droid?
Maybe, said Tall, his mouth full.
Well, if you ever succeed, I shall expect to be compensated for repairs, the merchant said. Now, wipe your hands. I've something quite remarkable for you today.
Tall obliged with the enthusiasm of a child awaiting a gift, looking expectantly at Sheb. Sheb waved one of his assistants over. The Twi'lek female carried a tray atop which sat something covered by a piece of cloth. With a flourish, Sheb unveiled the latest treasure. Tall gasped quite satisfactorily, which did not surprise Sheb in the least. The item on the tray was millennia old, but looked as if it had left the artist's studio but a few moments past. It was a small statuette of an aquatic creature, all memory of its species now forgotten, that had once frolicked, presumably it had frolicked, if the playful motion captured by the stone carving was to be trusted, in the oceans of a world that had been likewise lost to time. Small gems served it for eyes, and its tail curved beneath its four-flippered body to merge with a base that looked like a cresting wave. Tall reached out to it, then paused, raising his eyebrows in question. Feeling like a benevolent deity, Sheb nodded his permission to pick up the precious artifact. Tall did so with great care.
Boss, this scum say he needs to see you.
Thurg forced his way through the curtains. His huge hands were clamped down on the furry arms of a Moran who didn't struggle at all. He looked around in appreciation.
Nice, very nice, he said.
His gaze fell on Tall. Tall stared at him for a moment, then heaved a sigh.
Desh, what are you doing here? Came to get you.
Well, I'm busy.
Still held by the mammoth Gamorrean, the Moran, who apparently knew Tall, and whose name was apparently Desh, actually managed to shrug.
Sorry.
What?
Sheb struggled for words, trying to make sense of the absurd situation.
Tall, do you know this... this...
I do, from way back. He's not supposed to be here yet. Well, I guess what's done is done.
Shaking his long, black, dreadlocked hair, Tall gently put the figurine on the table, sliding it a little bit away from him. He rose.
Too bad. I liked the pastries.
He extended a hand in Sheb's direction, then jerked it upward.
The merchant let out a treble yelp of astonishment as he found himself squirming in midair.
At the same instant, the Moran twisted and brought his arms up, breaking Thurg's grip as if it were nothing at all, then grabbed the Gamorrean's arm and flipped him over.
Oh, I say,
squeaked a panicked Blue, heading for the door with arms raised.
Help! Help!
Four armed bodyguards charged in. The Rodian, huge black eyes fixed on Tall, slammed into the hapless droid. Blue went clattering into a corner, and the Rodian began firing at the interlopers.
No! No blasters!
Sheb shouted, thinking of the irreplaceable items on display in the room. But they ignored him. Red blaster fire screamed through the room.
and Sheb, still dangling in the air, screamed along with it. First in pain at seeing his beautiful merchandise obliterated, and then again when a bolt seared through his flapping robes, dangerously close to his torso. There were two other lights flashing about as well, about a meter long, one green, one blue, that Tall and the interloper wielded like swords. Lightsabers! That meant... Tall kept one hand extended, holding Sheb aloft, and with the other, batted back the red bolts with an almost casual ease. Was the man humming? Yeah! Cried the Korobar as a blast singed his thigh. Tall winced.
Sorry,
he said, smiling sheepishly up at Sheb, even as he executed a backward flip, ending in a sharp, perfectly placed kick to the midsection of a bodyguard. The Gamorrean stumbled, then toppled as Tall slammed the butt of the lightsaber into his temple. I wasn't done yet, Tall said, directing his attention to Desh. The smaller, more slender Jedi, for such Sheb realized they both had to be, was on the table now. He splayed a four-fingered hand and lifted the Rodian into the air. For an insane second, he and his employer hovered eye to eye, the Rodian's tubular muzzle undulating with protests. And then the green-skinned bodyguard was slammed against the wall.
Well, don't blame the messenger,
the Moran said. He wasn't even breathing hard.
I was told you were to be reassigned.
2 more weeks and I would have gotten the whole operation, Tall grumbled. He, too, was speaking as calmly as if the entire exchange were occurring in his own home, over friendly drinks.
The Council couldn't wait that long?
It would seem not.
Desh somersaulted from the table to the floor, grabbing 2 chairs in the process and hurling them at the 4-eyed arachnoid Aqualish firing steadily, though fruitlessly, at Tall. The furniture struck the bodyguard perfectly, and he went sprawling to the floor, limbs entangled in the chair's back and legs at painful-looking angles. His blaster flew out of his hands. The Moran caught it effortlessly. He whistled as he examined it.
Nice!
Oh, no, you don't, Blue, said Tall. The protocol droid had hastened over to one of the fallen bodyguards and clutched a comlink in his hand. Still keeping one hand turned toward Sheb, the Jedi leapt toward the droid and severed Blue's hand from his wrist. The droid gave a high-pitched shriek.
Oh, come on, that can be fixed, Tall said. Don't be a baby. So, did I ruin the whole mission?
Asked Desh. He thumbed his lightsaber, and with a snap hiss, the blade deactivated.
Not the whole mission. Just the really satisfying wrap-up part of it.
Miraculously, the statue of the oceanic creature had survived intact.
Tall picked it up, smiling. But this will do. I got a lot of useful information on a lot of very nasty sorts from this one.
That touchy-feely stuff you do with things does come in handy.
It's called psychometry, thank you very much.
Listening, Sheb realized why Tall, which of course wasn't this Jedi's name at all, had always been so eager to touch everything before purchasing it. Come to think of it, he hadn't purchased much, but he had certainly handled...
Sheb whimpered.
You know everything, he said, his voice taut.
Well, not everything, said Tall, not Tall. I mean, I don't know every synonym for blue, for example. Blue? How about it?
Oh, dear,
squeaked the droid.
And as for you, Sheb, it's been a pleasure doing business with you. This might hurt a bit, but I'm sure the Jedi who will be here momentarily will take care of you.
Tall lifted his hand, and as the miserable protocol droid began to list the billions of synonyms for his name, Sheb almost thought he would welcome the unconsciousness that was about to claim him, as Tall, looking apologetic, drew back his hand to send the black market merchant hurtling into the wall.